Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Hey, Solution, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not too bad.
What round is it again?
Well, I know. I'm trying not to think about it, that we're coming so close to the end, and then there's this big chunk of my life where I feel out of place, and I walk through the streets with my head down, and I have to get through November and December, and then January, the tennis kind of distracts me for a bit, and then I've got to get through February and March, and yeah.
Okay, I'll give you some advice to fill this hole in your life. Go.
If you say the word that starts with C and ends in T, I am leaving this podcast. If you recommend me to get onto that,
yeah. Wait, is that a four-letter word? Look, whatever you're into,
hey,
you could get onto that if you like. No, that's not what I had in mind.
Okay.
I was going to say, why don't you put $500 on a betting account?
Yeah.
And start betting on Premier League.
Oh.
Before you know it, you'll be involved.
But I don't know anything about it.
Then you'll learn. Arsenal, we're on the way up. It's like you're like buying high.
So do you bet on players? Like players scoring goals or what?
Oh, you can do that. You can bet on players scoring goals.
But
you can bet on
it's
games.
It's less likely than in AFL.
No, it's more likely because there's less players and only a fewer forwards.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
It's,
yes,
like if Manchester City are playing, it's likely that Haaland, who's like this freak of nature, alien, early 20-something, who scored like a bazillion goals last year, is going to score a goal.
Oh, so anyway. Are we turning this into a soccer podcast now?
We could do that. We could do
in
that.
In the off-season.
I wouldn't mind. If anyone's interested, Arsenal podcast. But, yeah, I would find a sport and bet. Yeah,
that would Isn't be that just going to get me addicted to bet gambling? Do I need that in my life?
Well, you know, it's swings and roundabouts. You won't be bored if you're addicted to gambling, trust me.
But I'll be broke.
You'll be taking money out of your business. You'll be stealing. No addict is ever bored.
That's true. That is a very good point. It's a very good point.
All right.
Can you tell that we're avoiding the first segment? Can you tell that we're finding any excuse to avoid the first segment?
Normally, So moving to the changes, normally
do we have to.
We do. Normally, when I set up this Google meeting, I just put two initials FF, which stands for Fiona's Forecast. And what did I put this time?
You put an extra, you put an S onto the FF.
F. Yep.
And then you put the word snelling next to it.
Yep. And.
Oh, I just saw, for fuck's sake, Snelling.
Yeah, we also got the head in hand.
Oh,
emoji.
Yeah, the emoji. Yes, sorry. How can I forget the emoji?
Yes. So the changes are, God. Out, hang on. I've lost them. Who's out? Out Alan Davey Jr., who was the sub. Out Caldwell injured, which we were kind of flagged through the week that might be the case. What's wrong with him, Fiona, by the way?
Did I see ankle, foot or something?
Do you reckon there's a chance that he's been carrying something? Because he hasn't quite been himself in the last month.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. In his Snelling. Now, I'm not actually, like, I know he's the small... He's the small forward. When you ask for a small forward, Mum says, we've got Snelling at home. He's that small forward. But I'm not really – like, I'm not having a go at him. I'm just disappointed that there's no Baldwin for a start. He's just tearing it up. And Jaden Laverde's charmed life continues. The only reason I can suspect he's still playing is just that Brad Scott is looking and saying, we can't all have – young kids, we do need experience in the back line. Do you think that might be the case?
Yeah, and there's a case to be called for, I think he wants continuity. The forward line has had the opposite of continuity for the whole year. Wiedemann in, Wiedemann out, 2 meter Peter in, 2 meter Peter out. So I think he's trying to keep one line with continuity, and that's the back line. I mean, granted, Ridley's still not there, but, yeah. When I was thinking about this and I got so depressed when I just saw that one name, I thought to myself, glass half full, at least Elijah's still in. At least they've kept Sardis in, who no doubt will have more of a midfield, a bit of a more of a midfield pace given that Caldwell's out. But I just see no reward in keeping underperforming Guelphy in the team and bringing in an underperforming Snelling, who neither have an ounce of natural forward, small forward craft. Neither of them possess 1 ounce. They may have other strengths, like Guelphy, when he's at his best, he's very good, you know, defensively. He's good at those smothers, the tackles. He's good at that. But you know who does have footy nous and who's probably not in great fit form? Someone like Waller or Wanganeen. That's their genuine positions. I would have just brought Davey into the team if he didn't want to bring any, if he didn't want to do any, you know, any big changes. Why don't they just bring Davey into the team? And if you have to have Snelling as your sub, you do that.
Yeah. And you know what that feeds into, like, the whole debate this week around Nick Martin on the wing. So we said, you're the first person to say this, Fiona, about 3 weeks ago when you said Brad Scott is trying stuff. And I agree. And when you view the Essendon team and the positions the players are playing from that lens, fine. Like let's Nick Martin's, he's probably been told to focus on some things and, you know, some things that maybe he's not doing particularly well and just focus on those and this will make us better in future years. But then the contrast to that is, like, what do we gain from bringing in a guy like Snelling when we've got these players? I mean, I guess Waller's not a future decision, but guys like Baldwin and those sorts of players are, let's see what they can do. Let's see whether they can contribute for the future. It's kind of counter to the narrative that we think should be told, which is that he's making decisions for the future. Does that make sense, or am I just waffling?
No. I can see the argument that there's a bit of contradiction happening in his messaging. I can see that argument, and all I can say at this point is that he's trying to have a balance. He's trying to keep, yes, we're still in finals contention and we don't want to really tank, but we also want to try players in different positions without risking losing the game too much. So I just have to go with that. I do, or else it's going to feel crap to think about it, to be honest. So to be honest, I'm more upset about Guelphy holding his spot than I am Snelling coming in, only because he has been so incredibly poor and offered so very little, next to nothing, that especially when you've got a guy like Tex who had a really good game in the VFL, and it's a small forward position. He's played a game. He hasn't played a game this year, but he's played AFL before. I don't know. I just think
if you're going to play these guys next week against GWS or against Collingwood in the last round, isn't the game to play? This is the game to play those guys.
Although we say that, but what did West Coast do to us last week? So maybe it's not. And they've been in good form. And contrastingly, North Melbourne's ins, Wardlaw and Cunnington. So, and Wardlaw killed us last time. The kid killed us 6 weeks ago whenever we played him. He absolutely tore us apart. So I would see this as a danger game too. I reckon they held off Stringer for next week. I really do.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we'll talk about our predictions later. But I failed to read the emergencies. So one of the subs will come from here. Wiedemann, Setterfield, Baldwin, and Alwyn Davey Jr.
That's the other thing that shit me. Why not bring in Setterfield?
Yeah. If he's fit, bring him in. If he's not fit.
But he is fit.
Then don't.
He played in the VFL. So he's injury-free.
Yeah.
And Caldwell went out. So doesn't that seem like a mid-for-mid, like-for-like? Yeah. Why are you bringing in Snelling?
You know what I'm seeing?
What does he offer?
You know, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. And it's not hating either. It's not hating.
No, it's not.
He's been a great servant for a guy that came, you know, via the mid-season draft.
And he's a 9 out of 10 personality. He was rated very highly for who he is as a person. So there's no hate.
Yeah. But then let's get Mahatma Gandhi in the back pocket. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about whether people are nice or angelic.
No.
Who do you think will be the sub? I guess it's going to be Alwyn Davey again.
Yeah, definitely. Davey. Yeah.
And I was about to say earlier, I think there might be a late change. There hasn't been one for a couple of weeks, and it wouldn't surprise me.
For who? Is Baldwin a sub?
Yep.
I mean, emergency, sorry.
He is.
Okay. So Setterfield, Baldwin, Weeders, and Davey.
I could see Nick Cox. He's named on the wing. I could see, because he's done okay in the last couple of weeks, I can see Brad Scott saying, look, you're going to play up the ground and giving Laverde the role that Nick Cox has played in defence. That's one, well, I guess, not... giving Baldwin that role, sorry. I could see that happening, but who knows? Who knows? It's not inspiring, put it that way.
No, it's not. No. And I think after the last couple of weeks of really underwhelming performances, all the supporters were looking for a bit of a pep, but I'm not sure that that's the right attitude to have with team selection, just to shine a bit of a different light on there. I think there's something to say for consistency. And I think there's a more – I was a bit with Winsock 2000 about last week. I didn't think it was a lot to do with – like a huge amount to do with effort. I thought it was system-based. I didn't feel like we set up well, the ball just ricocheting out. And I guess, that has a lot to do with two-way running and setting up.
Well, yeah, it can also be players – running forward of the ball.
Trying to
cheat a little bit.
So I guess one feeds into the other. One automatically kind of dissolves into the other, work rate and system. But I just feel like they have to, when they're making, you know, improvements during the week, they've got to look at this not setting the players up for failure, giving them a way to set the ground up better. Yeah. So it doesn't set them up for failure and it looks like they're not trying.
And I must admit, that's what I like about Setterfield. His work rate, his work ethic, his tackling.
Never drops his head.
No, and his defensive efforts. And, God, we needed that last week.
Yeah,
so,
defensive-minded mid to just stand next to Tim Kelly, who, again, did a lot of damage against us. So... it certainly doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, but there is a thing to say about consistency of the team and just letting them. That's why my attitude of Cox now, you play him for the rest of the year. If he stays injured, he's in the team. No matter how he performs, you keep him in there. You do. You throw him on the wing, you put him back, you put him up forward if you have to. You just give him a taste of it all.
All right. Well, moving on to the Smoking Joe and the Sitting Joe.
Yeah.
Who's going to smoke? Who's going to sit? Am I doing the Smoking Joe this week?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I reckon... Phillips is going to have a great game and smoke.
Saw the big boy up the street earlier. I was getting coffee out of my local and he was walking up hand in hand with his little one and the dog in the other hand. In all the years he's been at the club, I've never seen him up the street here. Retires and bang. And he sticks out like a sore thumb.
I was going to say, he must be massive in person.
He's so massive. And because his little boy, who would be 2 years old, was walking. You know when you're holding the little one's hand, you've got a bit of a side bent on. Phillips was like this.
Yeah, he would have been doing I'm a little teapot.
He was, exactly. Because his hand is so far away from the little one. But no, I congratulations to Andrew. It was I very mistakenly was eating lunch when I watched the retirement speech and felt like I was going to throw up. Just personifies resilience.
So I saw your tweet and you said I made the mistake of eating lunch when I saw it, and I thought, what was it, soup? And you were putting salty tears in there. Like correlation between lunch and getting emotional?
I was weeping. I was heaving, and I had a bite of veggie wrap, just drooling out of my mouth because I was crying so much. And then I couldn't eat it. I had to throw it out because I felt sick.
I must be a cold bastard. I thought it was a wonderfully emotional moment. I didn't cry. Yeah, well, my mum's English, you know.
I'm a sensitive Sandra, so I feel the feels. I love deeply, and I feel strongly. But no, it's very sad. And all I said was, God, I hope Pep goes on another year. I don't have the emotional bandwidth to withhold a retirement from him. I don't. It'll destroy me.
I tell you what, there is a world where he could retire this year, because he would be going out on top.
He would definitely
be going out on top.
Yeah. And you know what? For what I'm told is that they are happy to have him on for another year. It is completely in his hands.
Oh,
because of his form, because his form's been so good this second part of the year, they've said to him, more than happy for you to go ahead if your body, and as far as I know, he's undecided as we stand.
Really?
Yes, it's all really? About, you know, he's had body issues, you know, throughout his whole career. He's really had to fight and grind, and he's not the kind to sit on the sidelines. He's a bit like 2 meter Peter. He works his backside off to get back into the team. And he's played through a lot of pain for a lot of seasons. Not to mention the emotional pain that the club put him through as well in this early part of his career at Essendon. So you wouldn't begrudge him if he was just fatigued by everything and hang him up, but I would be very sad if he does.
Well, to listeners, that's breaking news. We're the first to break it, I think, that he's contemplating his future and he could retire.
That could be common sense. The listeners are probably saying, yeah, duh. But
look, still interesting news. I thought at the start of the season, by the end of the season, he'd almost be reduced to being the club mascot, and it would be a really sad ending. But he deserves full credit for the year he's had.
Look, and I think he'd go out feeling really proud if he went out now after such good performances, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think so. All right, so Phillips is my
Yep.
Who's your sitting Joe?
Look, fuck it. I'm going to give it to Guelphy. I think he can get worse.
No. How?
I think he could
give away a 50-metre penalty?
Yeah, he could give away 250s. There was a player, I saw somebody screenshot it. Was it from Gold Coast? Who had -7 for the match, for the day. Disposals.
Well, there's the benchmark.
Oh, I don't know how you rack up -7 or -6, whatever it was, but I feel I'm going to give it to him. I just have no faith that he's going to. If the team is doing bad, he does bad. If the team is doing good, he does good, and I don't like it, and I think he can get worse.
Wowzers. All right. There you go.
We just need 2 meter Peter to just have a nice day next to his future teammate, Ben McKay, and just say, mate.
I contemplated him for the smoking because one thing we didn't really comment on last week in the podcast proper, but he did return to marking form last week. We saw it a bit of a tease the prior week against Sydney, where in the last quarter he started to mark the ball, was marking it again. And maybe turn the corner. And if anything was going to catapult us into finals, it would be 2 meter just getting back to his absolute best and kicking a bag?
I just don't think that's going to happen when he's got three opponents. One will take Langford, but who else is two others going to?
Yeah.
Speaking of setting players up to failure, Solution, we are setting him up. We're setting him up for failure. Maybe that's the point. Don't get me wrong. Maybe he's the decoy, but we are setting him up for failure. He constantly has two or three around him. And we kick to the pack, and hope for ground balls, which never come because Guelphy doesn't know how to play football.
Yes. So we've got Snelling, who only fulfills the small part of small forward.
The saviour. Yeah. The saviour in Snelling. He's going to come and turn it all.
Yeah. All right. I'm depressed now. All right. Let's move into the prediction.
Oh, now,
you can give yours. I'll just remind the listeners, I have not missed since the Richmond game.
Yep.
So
your margin was off obviously last week, but I think everybody
but I did say it would be close. I probably, in terms of nearest the pin, I was pretty close. Most pundits had us winning by 10 goals.
No, you said 39.
What did you have?
50.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm nearest the pin. Like I had 39 and under.
11 points.
No, I had 39 and under. I reckon most people had us winning by a heap.
Anyway, the point is you've called the win-loss every single week since the mid-Dreamtime game. So that is freaking impressive and scares me. All right, well, look, I'm going to go a win because I just simply can't compute anything else in my head right now. I'm going to say a win and maybe 8 points.
Yeah, so strap yourself in.
You're going to say a loss, aren't you? Fuck.
I think Kangaroos might win.
Look, it wouldn't surprise me.
We really are running out of steam.
Yeah.
This will be their grand final.
Yeah.
This will be their absolute grand final. They will throw the kitchen sink at us.
Didn't you say in the podcast that we were going to win by 50?
I've changed my mind.
That's a big swing.
Yeah.
Have you ever changed your mind?
Yeah.
From podcast to Fiona's forecast?
Okay. If we do this Fiona's forecast in 10 minutes, I'll come up with a different. I'll come up with a different. No, I've got a really bad feeling, and I think the Kangaroos will win by 10 points.
Ooh.
And it'll be one of those games we will just play stupid football. Actually, the only thing I did say, hang on, I'm getting a late flash. I did say...
Are you getting a vision? A vision?
Yeah, I am getting a vision. I did say that Scott is going to give them a rocket.
Yes, so you did say that.
I think the defensive error... No, I'm sticking Kangaroos 10 points.
Oh, that's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really... But the good news is then I can just switch straight over to the Matildas at 5 o'clock.
And hopefully see
the ladies get up and it won't feel so bad.
9:30 PM Arsenal. I'll watch that. And then 9:30 PM Arsenal are on playing their first game.
Well, there you go. Okay.
So the Premier League starts. So
your night set.
I'll be able to console myself there.
I must say, I'm very impressed with the AFL not being intimidated by the women and the world sport and actually publicising it and putting it on now. They said they were just waiting on one more thing to tick off to telecast it at the MCG live on the screens before the Carlton game tomorrow night.
You know what?
That was a fabulous initiative.
Yeah, I agree. And it's very unlike them.
That's what I mean. Like they would have just, they think they're too important to put anything,
right.
And that anything is a woman's sport. You know, it's actually the women's game. You know, so for them to actually just put themselves second and put their egos aside, really impressed by them. So well done, Andrew Dillon.
Yes. Who's your prediction, Australia versus France?
France were very good. Very good against, who they play? Is it Morocco? Did they play?
Yeah, I think so. They won 4-0, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they were very, very good. But I'm going to go with them, with the ladies. They feel the love. They feel the support.
Yeah, I think you're right. No, I think France might win, unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if
you want to tell me that my grandma's going to die now too? Like, what more pain would you like to inflict on me?
I predict your grandma will live by 23 points.
Another 20 years would be nice.
Yeah. No, 23 years. 23 years. There you go.
Lovely.
All right. Anything else on the game you want to mention? You're not going, are you?
I am not going because, as we all have ascertained, that I'm a seat princess, as Jez called me, a seat snob, a self-proclaimed seat snob. So I liked my reserve. I like my reserve seat. I don't like having to turn up and just find a seat. I like to have good seats. So no. So I will be couch viewing. Are you going?
Yeah, I'm going. But I'm
VA plebs or medallion.
No, I've got a seat, but I suspect it's right in the heart of the Kangaroos fans.
And why are we doing this?
Well, it's a freebie.
Can you just do me one favour, though?
Yeah.
And it shits me that you don't. It shits me about anybody who goes to a game like this without paraphernalia, without representation of who you support. It shits me. I need to know who you're supporting. So I know if you're a friend or a foe.
Do you want to know the history to this?
No, I don't care about any bad luck. You need to stop it. Put your scarf on and be done.
Listen to this. In 1993, I went along, and I used to wear my mum had a scarf from like 1970 something. So an Essendon scarf that she used to wear to Windy Hill, and I used to wear that. It was just a red and black with it was just a red and black scarf. It was brilliant. And I used to wear that. And in 1993, I wore it and I wore it and I wore it and we lost and we lost and we lost. I didn't wear it, we won. I wore it, we lost. I didn't wear it, we won. And then we started building this momentum and I stopped wearing it. And the less I wore it, the better we got. And then we won the flag. And since that day, I vowed never to wear paraphernalia.
And how's that going for you now?
Not good.
Because you haven't worn it since that day, and we have lost a hell of a lot of games. So the time has come for your streak to end. Oh, it doesn't have to be a scarf if you've got some hoodoo. Wear a hat or a jacket or a jumper or a hoodie.
I wore a football hoodie last week.
No, you didn't. It didn't have Essendon on it. Exactly. So stop it, especially if you're sitting in opposition camp.
Enemy territory.
Correct. Enough.
I'm pretty loud, so they'll know soon enough.
They just think you're being. They just think you're taking the piss if you don't have the paraphernalia on.
All right, I will. That's a good point. It hasn't gone well for me the last 20 years. All right, I will.
I've sat next to you on multiple occasions this year, and we have lost every game that I've watched the football with, and you have been in just stranger outfits.
Fuck, that's a good point. All right.
So the curse has been lifted well and truly.
A scarf it is.
And we'll win. See? Wear the scarf and I bet we win.
All right. Deal.
Done.
Okay. Now, I've got a question for Fiona's forecast.
Oh, yes.
Fiona's forecast. Fiona's couch.
Yes, I forgot about this.
It's a bit different this week. Ready? All my friends are buying houses. All my friends are buying houses. I'm 32 and I still haven't made the plunge. I'm wondering what I should do. Interest rates are high, but prices seem to be flattening. Please give me some guidance. Someone's come to us for financial advice.
Oh, I think you're knocking at the wrong door here. This is not my forte, I am not going to lie. So I reckon you could probably offer some better advice on this regard. But what I will say from the emotional point of view, if you're feeling the pressure because you're 32, then you need to just wipe that out of your head. I know that's societal pressure. That's not your internal pressure.
True.
That's just society telling you. It's just like when you turn 38, you don't have kids or you're not married, but you feel like this pressure that you should be. That's just society making you feel like you should be. So don't put the pressure on it just because you, on yourself, just because you think you should have bought a house by now. There is absolutely, the word should just not be part of this equation. You need to do what feels right. If it's going to put a lot of pressure on you, is it worth the cost? Not the financial cost, the emotional cost of you stressing out to pay a mortgage rather than renting and not having to worry about all the other bits and pieces. If the cost, if the emotional cost is too high, then I would say don't do it. And if the pressure you're feeling is from parents, from society, then it's not real pressure. And you need to just put that
aside. Live your own life.
And look within and kind of ask yourself who you're doing it for. If you're doing it for the approval of society, if you're doing it for your parents' approval, or you're doing it because you feel confident in this next step.
Yeah, I think that's great advice for anything, like whatever you're doing.
100%.
Like, what I would say is my view would be, assuming you can afford it at the interest rates as they are now, and even give yourself some room. So if interest rates go up a couple more percent, can you afford something? I think you should, if you can get in the market, you should. And I would buy something small. I'd favour small and in rather than some massive mansion out in Whoop Whoop where you need to catch two buses and a hovercraft to get to the train station before you even get on the train. So, yeah, that would be my if you can get in the market, do it. And just get, when you're in the market, you have options. And, you know, if you end up having a family and kids need something bigger, you can leverage that to buy something bigger or whatever the case might be. But if you can get into the market, I think it's worth it.
Is that because, did he say because interest rates are low or have they gone down? Is that what he said? Or
he or she didn't say anything about interest rates, but I'm assuming they can buy. I'm assuming they can afford it because they've just said, I still haven't made the plunge, 32, what should I do? Interest rates are high, but prices seem to be flattening. They really want economic advice.
The price of the property.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
I reckon if you could get something, not bad property, like a really poorly made
You're looking like a small apartment.
Yeah, no, but I wouldn't get a really poorly made.
But they're all apartment. Poorly made now.
Well, yeah, that's true. But how much do we think
a 32-year-old can cost? Like those apartments you're talking about are pricey.
Yeah, but I don't know what he's doing. He might have.
It's a 32-year-old.
But when I say in, I mean like I would favour. Like if you could buy in Hatfield, for example, smallish, that would be better than buying past Craigieburn in one of these states. In this big sort of, in this bigger property. That's what I mean by in versus out. In a big city that continues to grow, if you can be within one train, one mode of public transport, even if you're at the end of the line, even if it takes you an hour by train to get to the CBD, but if you can do that, you're kind of doing okay. I don't know. That's my view. If you can afford to get in the market, do it. But to your point, if it's going to ruin your life, if you're going to not be able to afford to eat.
But it's, this is the issue with in life, but with this particular issue at this age, is that like 32 is still young, especially if this is a man. Yeah. Men don't even come into their emotional maturity until their friggin' 40s. So it's.
Yeah.
It's just the pressure shouldn't be there and society is what's doing it. So if you're feeling pressure to make this plunge because of external pressures, then just continue the way you're going, figure out who you are, do the work, and then worry, and the rest will fall into place.
Yeah, that's good advice too. We really need the venture capitalist here, the correspondent, to
give us some
market analysis.
I'm not sure who left this question, but if it was directed for me and not solution, I was, I let you down on this one.
No, I'm just trying to avoid all the relationship questions.
Yeah, we have had a few of those, haven't we?
There's a backlog.
R-rated ones. We could clean them up, couldn't we? But yeah.
Yeah. We might get to one of those next week. All right. Oh, well, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake, our sponsor. Yeah, hopefully we win. And Stardust, we get to see him again. What a young man.
Yeah. So that alone. Looking forward to seeing more of him. Yep. Yeah.
That alone is worth the price of turning the TV on and having to listen to the commentators or going to the game.
Agree.
On that note, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Night.